You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. I want to address, and really this is somewhat of a follow-up on a story I did, actually three stories I did last week, and it is in the foreign policy area. And that concerns Donald Trump, President Trump, and the pause in travel from seven countries, including Iran, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Somalia, Yemen. What is he doing? And will he prevail? Yes, he will prevail. If you read the Constitution, if you read the laws, the law is on Donald Trump's side. So the attempt by a number of activist judges to stop him, as well as attorney generals, is not going to work. Tonight, there's a three-panel judge that's going to hear the arguments of the federal government. Ultimately, the decision will be Donald Trump was perfectly within his authority to issue an order to pause. It wasn't a ban. It was a pause on travelers coming from this country. In other words, he wants to vet the people that are coming to this country. I call it vigorous vetting. He calls it extreme vetting. And the American people want that. And the reason is simple. And while the people want it, the elites in this country are ignoring the American people. They don't want an radical Islamic terrorist coming in this country and killing them. Yes, I'm perfectly aware the odds of that happening are very, very low. Right now, they're very low. But we've had terrorist attacks. Yes, even one in Dallas not too long ago. And they're spreading. And if you trace the origins, the backgrounds, many of them come from these countries or their families did. They're the sons and daughters of people from these countries. Because what happens is their children get radicalized. The ban is not based on a religion. It's based on the country of origin. In this case, countries that are either the leading practitioners of terrorism, and that's Iran, but where their terrorism is going on. In the Middle East today, what you have is a religious sectarian civil war going on between the Sunni Arabs and the Persian or Iranian Shia and their proxies in these countries. That's the big picture. So the President of the United States, maybe not tonight, maybe not even this week, but shortly, is going to prevail. Because presidents in the past, including President Obama, President Carter, have used this authority. In Carter's case, expelling Iranian students, and clamping down on making sure they had a visa here and they didn't overstay their visa. Obama did it with Iraq, longer period. The president is trying to protect the American people. I salute him for it. That's his job, is to protect the American people. You might not agree with the policy. And I'd be the first to say it needed to be better explained, clearly explained. And if it had been better thought out, I'm not sure we would have had the last week or two of reports after reports. You got to keep in mind, citizenship is a privilege. It's not a right. And if you're from another country and in another country, you don't have a right or to come here, period. And I don't have a right to come to your country, period. Now, countries usually encourage people to visit, invest here, and immigrate. The United States is the leader, in my mind, in immigration. But we're not going to commit political suicide, and we're not going to open the doors for mass migration where a small percent have the distinct possibility of, in some future date, become active in trying to either overthrow or engage in a terrorist act because they're religious fanatics. You see, what's going on in the Middle East, this religious sectarian civil war, has been going on for decades. It's not new. You have two major branches of Islam. The Sunni is the majority, and I've provided some maps so you can get a better idea of who's Sunni and who is Shia. To keep it real simple, majority, 80 to 100% of the Shia are in Iran, and about 60%, maybe a little higher, are in Iraq, primarily in the area, southern Iraq, Kuwait. But the rest of the Middle East are Arab, but they're Sunni, and that's the majority. Anywhere from 87 to 90% of people that are Muslims, believe in Islam, are Sunni. That's the majority religious sect, if you will. That includes Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, Yemen, parts predominantly, and other parts of the world. It's not, and Morocco, for example, the Sudan. And the Turks are not Arab, they're Turks. They are Sunni. And the Kurds, not Arab, they're Kurds, are also Sunni. That's the big picture. But they treat each other as apostates, especially the fanatics, the extremists. And when you're in a civil war situation, they kill each other, torture and kill people. The worst cases of this are the Islamic State, Sunni Arabs, funded by people in Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, not by the monarchy, but people in that country that want to have Sunnis be able to defend themselves against who? The Shia in Iraq, as well as their supporters from Iran. You need to understand that. So obviously, if you're a Shia in a territory controlled by the Islamic State, you might very well find yourself dead. If you're a homosexual, you're going to find yourself dead. It's been described as a killing cult, and they are trying to get people from around the world to come to Syria and fight on their side. And if they can't, they recommend they engage in terrorist activities, in example, in the United States and various countries of Europe. They're formatting and want to format people that believe that are Sunnis and believe they're really, more specifically, they're Salafists. That has its origin, yes, in Saudi Arabia, even though the Islamic State considers monarchies as well as secular governments also as apostates. They consider themselves to be corrupt. And what you need to understand, they are practicing a very fundamental version of Islam, and that is attractive to a lot of people. And they want to live under Sharia law, religious Sharia law, as well as form a caliphate, and that's what they consider the Islamic State to be, and they want to spread it worldwide. That's their ambition. Like communism wanted to convert all the capitalist countries into socialist or communist states, so does the Islamic State. They want to bring back the caliphate. The last successful one was the Ottoman Empire, and they want to spread it across the world. However, in their own countries, they want to definitely live under Sharia law. If they could, and thank God they can't, they would tear up our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and our laws and replace it with Sharia law. They simply don't have the votes. Now, I was going to say yet, now, because in the United States, Muslims are maybe 2% of the population, and that's both Sunni and Shia. But what you need to understand and be very careful about, they have high birth rates, over three for every couple, over three to four. To replace your population, you need a replacement rate of about 2.1. Now, I'm getting into that. Up until recently, the United States replacement rate was right at 2.1. We're slightly under that today. I'm pointing that out because where you have a big differential between the majority, which is predominantly still white, have a birth rate, let's round it at two, but your Muslim immigrants have three, four, or five kids over many years, but not that many, 100 years, what happens? The percentage of the population that are Muslim goes up, up, and up. And that's the problem that Europe has, but it's actually much, much, much worse. Because in many countries in Europe, really all of them, the native population, whether they're Spaniards, Brits, Frenchmen, Italians, Germans, their replacement rate is below 2. It's typically between 1.1, 1.2 to maybe 1.7, 1.8. The reason that's important is if once you cross or below the replacement rate, what happens? Your population declines in numbers and the population gets older. And that's a problem. And Russia has the same problem, by the way. Actually, it's worse than many of the other countries. So when you have a mass migration into Europe, especially from those that are practicing Muslims from the Middle East, but also Northern Africa, in other words, where you're practicing, if not open borders, a very encouraging migration, because you know you got that problem. You need people to replace your population, but where you have a much higher replacement rate, and that's the case with the Muslims, in another 30, 40 years, if not sooner, the Muslims will outnumber the natives, the majority population, before this mass migration started. And that means Europe will become Muslim, and maybe even the United Kingdom, unless they stop this mass migration. But many countries, because they're welfare states, they rely on a growing population to the people working, providing the money for those that are retiring. So they're in a very difficult economic situation and a security situation. And it does have long-range consequences. And it will be, the problem is just getting worse. And you don't want to compound that problem by having large numbers, or you don't even need a large number, a small percentage of those people entering your country have been radicalized, because they will engage and have engaged in radical Islamic terrorist acts. So that's the situation today. And the question is, what does the United States do? You see, Donald Trump has made this pause, a temporary pause of 90 days, to really try to figure out what's going on and see if you can vet people. Vetting is key here, but when you're living in a failed state, whether it's Libya, Syria, Yemen, where the country is in civil war, you don't really have access to good information. In other words, you can't vet them. You would want to vet them. In other words, check out their background, but you literally don't have access to the databases. And even if you did, you don't know how reliable they are. And you see, there's no question. You can ask them questions. If you're coming here as a refugee, and we do accept, historically it's been under 50,000. It's only in the last year or two of Obama that it's been much higher. Of those coming here, and there are roughly 1 million people that every year come as legal immigrants, under 50,000 in the past. And it's a number that fluctuates. And the president determines that number and has latitude as to where they come from. The point I'm trying to make, refugees are part of the immigration, legal immigration situation. They're a relatively small part, but when they're concentrated and are coming from countries that you either have a civil war or there are tensions between the Sunnis and the Shia, and they're engaged in acts of terrorism and retaliation for terrorist acts, you don't want a refugee to come here and engage in terror. Now, here's the irony. Many of these people are fleeing persecution. They're religiously persecuted. Most of the victims of terrorism in the Middle East are Muslims. No doubt about that. But other religious minorities have also been persecuted. The Jews, Christians, and people of other faiths. Islam is not very tolerant of other religions, unlike today in the United States. And I need to quickly point out, you need to review your history, because at one time, we had religious civil wars in Europe. The Catholics and the Protestants, the various sects of Protestants, were killing each other and torturing each other. We don't do that anymore, and we don't want to go back to the Middle Ages. The United States is very tolerant of other religions. What they're not tolerant of is you coming to this country and try to overthrow the Constitution, replace our laws with Sharia law. And if that's what you want to do, the American people would rather you stay where you're at. In other words, we don't want you. If that's why you're coming to the United States to try to replace our laws and constitution with Sharia law, whether it's Sunni Sharia law or Shia Sharia law, we don't want you. Stay home. Or go someplace else, but don't come to the United States of America. You see, what I'm advocating is that for some of these countries, the ban or the pause needs to be permanent until the war is settled, until they've killed each other, and are finally reconciled. Good luck with that. Now, that leads to the next, and that was going to be my second story. Trump is going to win this. I have no doubts about it. Even if it has to go to the Supreme Court, he's going to win this. Forget what the opposing lawyers are saying. There's just too much precedent. Judges should not be deciding this. That's the first point, because they are not aware of the threats that the American people face from citizens of these countries. Many of them don't understand the religion and they don't know the language, they don't understand the religion, the culture, the history, and the fact that they're killing each other. Amazing, but come on in. No, President Trump is doing the responsible thing. He is. You might not like it, but he is. He's really trying to protect the American people, and a lot of the American people would want this to be permanent. Not only permanent, but add several other countries. In other words, we're aware of what's happening in Europe, very aware, and we don't want to happen here, and many of us know what's going on. I've spent too much time researching this entire topic, terrorism, Islam, the history. I don't want that here, period. And if that means cutting off or curtailing immigration, so be it. Now, that doesn't sit well with a lot of people, especially on the left. They'll wake up when one day they find a friend, a relative, maybe a brother, a sister, a mother, a father killed by a terrorist. Then they'll change their tune. Then they will change their tune. Then they'll be demanding that President Trump stop this. President Trump has the responsibility as the executive, the president of the United States, for the national security of this country, its people, and its property. And I always give the presidents, whoever they are, the benefit of the doubt. They have more information than your typical average American has, including judges. And this was long overdue. President Obama and the Democratic Party favored open borders. It gets back to power. They wanted to make this country a single-party country, and they wanted all the illegal aliens that are here, 30 to 50 or 60 million of them, to eventually, sooner the better, get citizenship. That was the strategy, is the strategy. And if they succeed with the strategy, they will be a dominant party. Today, they have been rejected by the American people. The American people don't want that. And that's why the Democrats have lost over 1,000 offices, national as well as state. And they're going to continue to lose it because the American people are not in favor of open borders and unlimited immigration. They want it stopped. And they want it stopped now, because it's a job issue, it's a security issue, it's a crime issue, it's a drug issue, and they've had it up to here with the Democratic Party and many in the Republican Party more concerned about illegal aliens than American citizens, the American worker. And if the Democratic Party wants to persist in this, good, because you're making a big strategic blunder and you will become a minority, a small regional party confined to a few major cities. That's in the cards if you persist in trying to ram down the throat of the American people your open borders citizenship for illegal aliens. That's what the American people are rebelling against. They are leaving both parties because of it. And the Republican Party better wake up to it. They're not much better, by the way. Although there are some people that are very good on immigration, they're not that many. You see, I'm not for 1 million legal immigrants coming to this country. If you listen to the show, and before I forget, the way you listen to the show is go to prompops.wordpress.com. That's the companion blog for this show. And this is show 833. But under those links, and I have links to the most recent shows, roughly 60 to 80, I have a lot of information on the two stories I'm covering, namely the Trump executive order putting a pause in travel from these countries for 90 days. No, it's not a ban, and it has nothing to do with the religion. It has what it has to do is with the fact that there's terrorism in these countries. People are killing each other. Some it's strictly political, others it's religious differences. The Sunni, the big divide is between the Sunni and the Shia. But you got to be careful here. It's not all the Sunni and it's not all the Shia. It's a minority of the Sunni and a minority of the Shia. It's the radicals. That's why Trump calls it radical Islamic terrorism. I would add one more word, jihadist. Jihad means struggle. The lesser struggle is the violent or militant struggle, and that's what the Islamic State is engaged in, and that is what the Islamic Republic of Iran is engaged in. They're jihadists. They're fanatics. They're religious fanatics that kill people that don't have their own religion, don't believe in their version of the religion. It goes further than that, and they will kill people that don't agree with them. It includes people of the same faith. They're all Islam, but the Sunni, the Islamic State, is Sunni. It's Arab. But they're Salafists, and they're different types of Salafists. We're talking the violent kind. And that's the kind that Trump is trying to keep out. And that's what we want him to keep out. It's in your interest, my interest, for Trump to do what he was elected to do and what the American people are expecting him to do. And I'm and a lot of other people have a very low tolerance for these protesters. Now, I will defend your right to protest. But when they interfere with traffic, people trying to get to the airport and get on their flights, they've crossed the line. And what they're truly about is taking it to Trump. They're trying to cast Donald Trump in a bad light. It's not working. And if they continue to do it, fine with me, because when your political opponents are making mistakes, shut up and let them do it. I shouldn't even say this. They are really getting a lot of people annoyed that don't support what they're protesting about. I'm for the American people, the American citizens, the American worker. I have a low tolerance for illegal aliens that are in this country because they invariably have broke several laws. They broke in the country by not presenting their papers, or if they came here legally with a visa and overstayed their visa, they're breaking our laws. That's a felony, by the way. And if you're caught, prosecuted, you're not coming back for 10 years, folks, depending on how long you... See, when you get a visa to the United States, and this is other countries as well, it specifies why you're coming here, maybe to go to college, maybe business, and also a time period that the visa is good for, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 180 days. It depends on the type of visa, depends on the circumstances. But at the end of the period of the visa, you're required, not asked, you're required to go home. In other words, you agree to these terms. And when your visa expires, you're supposed to go home. Now, yes, you might be able to get it renewed, and you should if that's the situation. But what's happening is about 40%, some would say higher, of the illegal aliens are people that have overstayed their visa. It's not all people breaking in the country going across the U.S.-Mexican border. I need to emphasize that. So the American people want Donald Trump to do what he's doing. Now, there's a minority, and I call them the lying, lunatic, left losers that can't accept the fact that the American people rejected them. They can't. And it's not just Donald Trump. It's been going on for several years. They are losers. They keep losing in election after election after election. In other words, their ideas have failed, and the American people say, we don't want to go in this direction. 70%, 75% in some polls. We don't want to go in this direction. We're going in the wrong direction. There's a reason why Democrats are losing. They have bad ideas, and it's hurting the American people. Most people lose elections because of bad economic policies. But people are also real concerned with their security. Even if today it's a very small probability that you would be injured or killed in a terrorist attack. Good. And I want it reduced. But we're not going to roll the dice and do what Europe did, because they face a mess, folks. And many Europeans are waking up. Actually, they're wide awake and they're regretting their decision. They are. Unfortunately for them, they've given citizenship to many of those immigrants that never really assimilated. And now they got a mess on their hands. Not only crime, but terrorist acts, which are crimes too. I don't want it here. I want it stopped at our borders. We need to protect our borders, our national sovereignty. We're not going to commit suicide, especially to a religion and ideology that makes it very clear, if you study it, that that's what they're about. They want a worldwide caliphate under Sharia law. No, thank you. Stay where you are. I don't want to visit your country, and you're not welcome in this country. If that's why you're coming here, no, you're not. And that shoe will fall, because sad to say, and I hope it doesn't happen, but it will, there'll be other terrorist attacks in the United States and in several countries in Europe. Donald Trump has the courage to be direct with the American people. What he's dealing with is the lying lunatic left losers that are in deep denial. This was not supposed to happen. I saw it coming a mile off, because the American people are not suckers. They might be slow. They might be very nice. But eventually they wake up and say, you know, I've been too nice. We got to take care of Americans first. We got to take care of the United States of America first. Oh, we'll take some legal immigrants. I'm for a range of 250,000 to 500,000. And if you listen to past shows, you know that if unemployment is below 3%, then 500,000 is reasonable. If unemployment is above 6%, then the max we're going to allow in any year is 250,000. We're not going to do what the donor owner class wants, to increase it from 1 million to 2 million to 3 million, and then over a period of 10 to 20 years, legalize all the illegal aliens that are here. That is what the Democrats want, and that, unfortunately, is what many in the leadership of the Republican Party wants. Not their basis, not their voter basis. And if they don't watch out, and it's both parties, there will be a third party that will take them on and will prevail. That'll happen. I don't know when, but it will. Because when you stop listening to what the American people want, are concerned about, once you make that mistake, it's only a matter of time before you're voted out of office. They don't care if you have a D or an R after your name. They're tired of being lied to, misled, distracted, and betrayed by the very people that they put their faith in and then were double-crossed when they went to Washington and sold out. Now, what I really wanted to do, and if I have a few more minutes, I will. I want to get back to that story that I highlighted that, remember, I think it was a week ago, Michael Flynn, General Mike Flynn, who's now he's not a general anymore, he's retired, but he's Donald Trump's national security advisor, went into the White House press room. That's a very rare event, because usually that's conducted by the White House press secretary, and he was in the middle of one, but he interjected, and in essence, what he did was, we're putting Iran on notice because it launched, tested a ballistic missile. And he used that phrase, we're putting Iran, or the Islamic Republic of Iran, on notice. That is subject to interpretation, obviously. Now, what's happened is the Iranians, or more specifically, the Islamic Republic of Iran, now they didn't use the phrase put on notice, but they replied and are making a point. We have an agreement that we made with your former President Obama that lets us test ballistic missiles that have a range up to 2,000 miles. Yes, that nuclear, not treaty, agreement. The one I and many people in the House and Senate didn't want. Now, that might be, and it was news to me. I didn't know of this. Not that they were going to let me look at the agreement. Why 2,000 miles? Because they want to be able to destroy the government of Israel. So from Iran, 2,000 miles, they can destroy any part of Israel. Now, the Europeans went along with it. Why? Well, for a missile to hit a country in Europe, it has to be about 3,000 to 4,000, in some cases, maybe 5,000 mile range. No sweat. They're not going to launch it against us. But hell, if they hit Israel and wipe it out, well, who knows? This should have never been agreed to. Obama was an appeaser, an appeaser. We've had that problem in the past. Other nations have had that problem. Great Britain or the United Kingdom with Neville Chamberlain, with Hitler. Oh, he got peace in his time, all right. The only thing the Islamic State understands and the Islamic Republic of Iran understand, and frankly the Muslims understand, is force. Weakness they exploit. You don't let them walk over you. You certainly don't agree to these terms. A number of people, including me, were complaining at the time. Part of this agreement should include missiles. And I'm not talking short-term tactical missiles. I'm talking intercontinental missiles with long ranges, 1,500 miles plus at least. Now, what you need to understand why the Islamic Republic of Iran considers Israel enemy number one, and they want to wipe it off the face of the earth. They also have another enemy, actually several enemies in the Middle East, namely the Sunni Arabs. Remember, the Iranians are Shia Persians, a different ethnic group and a different religious sect. And the Arabs don't like the Persians, the Persians don't like the Arabs, and the Sunnis don't like the Shia, and the Shia don't like the Sunnis. And it gets even more complicated when you get into the various subsects, if you will. Saudi Arabia does not want Iran dominating the Middle East. They are directly threatened by Iran, as is Israel, as is other nations in the Middle East. Iran wants to be the superpower of the Middle East. And to do that, they want to have nuclear weapons that they can launch from missiles as well as aircraft. That is their plan. That is their strategy. That's what they want. And they will lie, cheat, steal to get it. And we had a sucker president, an appeaser president, and a Secretary of State, John Kerry. Fortunately, they're gone, but not soon forgotten, unfortunately. That gave the deal of the century, as from an Iranian point of view. Donald Trump, as a candidate, says it's the worst deal he's ever seen. I agree with him. Because we don't want nuclear proliferation, and that deal will get us nuclear proliferation. And once that happens, what's going to happen? Saudi Arabia will have nuclear weapons. Egypt will have nuclear weapons. Iraq will have nuclear weapons. Turkey will have nuclear weapons. And more countries. This leads directly to nuclear proliferation, no matter what Secretary Kerry or President Obama said. We had enforced sanctions that were working because we got them to the negotiating table, and then President Obama and his negotiators gave it all away, blew years of sanctions all away, a royal screw-up so he could have his legacy. That treaty, not a treaty, an agreement, should, at the earliest convenience, under the best of circumstances, be terminated, tore up. The United States has been at war. A better way to say this is the Islamic Republic of Iran has been at war with the United States since the 80s. They have been killing Americans. They prefer proxies to do it, whether it's Hezbollah in Lebanon or the Houthis in Yemen. They provide the weapons, training, money needed so Shia in those countries can first defend themselves against who? The Sunni, typically the Sunni majority. That's why I say what we're seeing here is a religious sectarian civil war throughout the Middle East. In some places, the Shia are winning, in some places, the Sunni are winning. Now, to complicate all this, who are the allies of Iran? Russia, number one. China, number two. Both have nuclear weapon capability. Russia is supporting the Assad regime, as is Hezbollah, that gets its money from Iran. They are also supporting the Syrian regime of President Assad. Who is rebelling against that regime? The Sunni Arabs are. Assad is an Alawite, but he's allied with the Shia. The Islamic State, ostensibly, is in rebellion against the Syrian regime, as is al-Qaeda. And I mention that because there are no good sides to pick. And if you listen to the show, I'm a non-interventionist. I'm very much a classical liberal, and I don't want the United States to be policeman of the world, because once you do that, you've invariably become an empire. Now, not in the traditional sense that word is used, usually identified with either the Roman Empire or the colonial empires of the United Kingdom, Germany, Austria-Hungary, the Ottomans. No, we have hundreds of bases abroad, and we're policemen of the world, and we were trying to spread democracy. The problem is we don't know the religion of the people. We don't know the language of the people. We don't know the culture of the people. We don't know the history of the people. And we're going to introduce democracy, a representative republic in these nations. That is the height of arrogance and hubris. It is also overreach of the worst kind. And that has resulted in a massive deficits under Republicans and Democrats, because we've been at war. We're still at war in Afghanistan and really in Iraq. And what do we have to show for it? I'll tell you what we have to show for it. A lot of dead American soldiers, sailors, airmen, men and women, your sons and daughters. And we've made enemies of the peoples in those countries. The only thing they, and I mean the people in that area, believe in is force. And when we show weakness, they attack. And when we use force, they retreat. We've made a mess of the Middle East. It's unstable. You better believe Northern Africa and the Middle East is unstable. And there are a lot of people to blame, Republicans and Democrats. We've lost our American Republic. And you can't have an American, if you have an American empire, and that's what I will use to describe it, where the United States is the hegemon, the superpower, the only superpower. And we're trying to intervene in country after country and have hundreds of bases spread over the world, about 35 very large bases and hundreds of small, medium size, to support what? Intervention. To project power. We're broke. Unfortunately, the imperialists, the neocons, the interventionists of both parties have not gotten the memo, have not understood the fact that we're broke. We have quickly approaching a $20 trillion national debt, and we have somewhere, and you pick the estimate, it doesn't matter what the number is, between $100 trillion to over $200 trillion unfunded liabilities, mainly for Social Security and Medicare. We're busted, and part of it is overpromising in that area, in welfare, and in war. That's why we have a warfare and welfare state. And the question is, what are we going to do about the bad guys? And who are the bad guys? Yes, the Islamic State is definitely, no disagreement there, and so is Iran. And keep in mind, the people there that are Muslims, whether Sunni or Shia, they don't like the regimes. They're in terror of those regimes. The Iranian people don't like the current regime, and neither do the people that are still under the thumb, if you will, of the Islamic State, although they're being pushed back. See, I agree with Donald Trump that the Islamic State needs to be destroyed. But we need to confront what can we do or should do regarding the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what complicates it greatly is we have two major superpowers, or trying to be superpowers, let's put it that way, Russia and China, that support our allies of who? Iran. That immensely complicates the situation. No one wants a nuclear war. Donald Trump doesn't want a nuclear war. I certainly don't want it. But when you're dealing with fanatics, religious fanatics, that are not rational actors, what do you do? What you don't do is show weakness. And if you draw a red line, you better enforce the red line. You don't do what President Obama did. Became a joke. We're going in a direction of a World War III. I don't say that lightly, and we've had several periods in the last 10 to 20 years where that's the way it looked, folks. A lot of this could have been prevented. The Islamic State should never have become an Islamic State. They were largely destroyed, killed or imprisoned, but they had a second life because we withdrew. Keep in mind, President Bush agreed to that. I mean, we withdrew from Iraq in 2011 because we couldn't get a status of forces agreement. We had a stalemate there. And the recommendation was very clear. If you want to stabilize that country, you're going to have to leave a lot of troops there. You got to have to leave at least 35,000 to 55,000. We didn't. Bottom line, I just got the word. I got to shut it down. We don't want to re-engage by sending a large military force to the Middle East. The people there have to clean up this mess. That means Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, Turkey. They have to destroy, first of all, the Islamic State and set up a strong Sunni army to protect the people in Iraq and Syria against who? Yes, the Shia from Iran and Iraq. They created the problem. They have to solve their problem. We'll provide leadership, we'll provide intelligence, we'll provide the weapons, the strategy if they want, the tactics, the training, but it's up to the people in those countries to finally reach a peaceful settlement of their religious differences. Until that happens, this bloody, violent civil war will continue. So I'm alerting you that we have a real problem, and it's getting more and more dangerous as Russia and other powers, including us, get involved. I don't have any answers, but I'm not advising a massive intervention, just the opposite. But it does have to be addressed. The United Nations is not an answer. The people that have to address this are the natives, the governments in the Middle East, the Arabs, the Sunnis, namely Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, as well as the Turks that are Sunni. They have to address this, as do the Kurds that are Sunni. They face Iran, which is the leading terrorist state in the world today, despite what the Russians say. I hope it ends in peace, not in World War III. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.